Hey, welcome today. I'm super stoked to have you with us today. And my name is Humphreys Mkanduwire. I'm the lead pastor at Flood Church. I'm so excited that I could be bringing the word in your home and wherever you might be today. And we've been going through this series that we called The Unseen Struggles That Everyone Knows. And we've been looking at all kinds of things that are heart issues and how Jesus speaks into them. I want to encourage you, if you're yet to catch up on these messages, it would be great for you to visit our website, floodchurch.com, and you can listen to most of the sermons that we have from this series, The Unseen Struggles That Everyone Knows. And today we'll be talking about the unseen struggle of greed. In fact, I'm wrapping up this series, so next week we're going to be studying another one, the unseen struggle of greed. Greed is an overwhelming edge for something more, And today we're going to be reading in Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. Luke 12, verse 13 to 21. And before we read into the story, I just want to tell you what is happening. So Jesus Christ is in front of thousands and thousands of people, and he is telling them about the deeper truths of God's kingdom. He's talking about believers, or how disciples should live. They should not be like the hypocrites. They should not be like the Pharisees. Those that will welcome him, they will also be welcomed in the presence of his Father, and those that reject him will also be rejected in the presence of his Father. And he also talks about the sin that cannot be forgiven, and that's when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ is in this where he's talking about these deeper truths. He's talking about God's kingdom. And in the middle of that, somebody else interrupts his sermon. And this is where we start to read from. So let's read together Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. This is what the Bible says. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide that inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he taught them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Let's pray. Jesus, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, God, for you are speaking every single day. And God, we pray that today you will speak into our hearts so we can respond to your voice. We can respond to the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, by the show of hands, I know we are not together, we are doing this online, but still, wherever you might be, by a show of hands, how many of you know a greedy person? All right, okay, it looks like most of you. Or how many of you know groups of people that are greedy? Yeah, all right, cool. More likely you know a person who is greedy, or you know groups of people that are greedy. Some of you, as I'm talking about this, so you might be thinking about your boss. Maybe he takes all of opportunities to himself, and he never thinks of anyone else. He wants to take all of the opportunities to himself. Every single training that comes up, he goes himself and never sends anyone there and never rewards anyone. Some of you might be thinking of a friend that you know, or this friend of mine, he often thinks about himself or herself more than anything else. Some of you might be thinking of groups of people like politicians. You know, we like to say, oh, these politicians, if they were not greedy, these greedy politicians, if they are not greedy, our country could have been better. And we think about that. How about pastors? Oh, these pastors, these greedy pastors, look at them just getting everything for themselves. You have a person or a group of people that you consider to be greedy. But today I just wanted to just bring to your attention, have you ever considered that you yourself might be greedy? Has there ever been a time in your life when you have gone to someone else and said, hey, I'm so sorry for what I did. I was actually being greedy. Have you ever actually gone to God to say, God, please forgive me for my greed, for I am a greedy person? Have you ever considered that? My guess is that you have not. Probably you, if you have ever prayed to God before, asking Him to forgive you for your greed, more likely has happened once, or maybe not at all. It's just because for us as people, greedy tends to sneak up on us, and we fail to notice it in our own lives. Greed is more noticeable when it's far, but somehow it fades when it's close. You can see it in another person. You can see how the other person is doing. You can see that this person or this group of people is greedy, but you do not see yourself as a greedy person. So in the story that we have read today, Jesus Christ says this, watch out, watch out, watch out for all kinds of greed. Watch out for all kinds of greed, because greed comes in different forms. It does not come in one form. It comes in different forms. So Jesus Christ says, watch out. And He says, watch out, because the lie of greed says, I need it. I must have it. With it, life will be better. I need it. I must have it. With it, life will be better. And Jesus Christ says, watch out. And in the story that we have read, this man who stood up and said, Jesus Christ, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. And Jesus Christ confronts him and says, hey, by the way, who chose me to be a judge or an arbiter between you guys? None of you chose me to be the person that resolves your conflicts. So why are you inviting me now when you need to get something? This guy, this man was thinking, my brother is the greedy one. He is the one who has everything, the one who is withholding everything. He is the one who is greedy. I have nothing. I cannot be greedy. I'm not rich. I cannot be greedy. But greed hides, and greed shows up in the rich people as well as in the poor people. And scripture says, Jesus Christ says, watch out. Watch out. And I just wanted us to consider this instruction from Jesus of watching out, that if we do not watch out, greed will sneak up on us. And before we know it, we'll be knee deep in the waters of greed. And that before we know it, we're actually living for ourselves. So today I want us to pay attention to four loopholes that greed can use in our lives, that four ways that greed can sneak up in our hearts. And if we are not watching out, if we are not paying attention. And the first thing is, greed can sneak up on you when you fail to see God in your work and in your wins. Greed will sneak up on you when you fail to see God in your work and in your wins. Let's read verse 16 to 17 of Luke chapter 12. It says, and He taught them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store up my crops. Let's talk about work for a start there. This man looks at what he has, and he never considered this phrase. This phrase says in verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. This man just looked up at what he has, but he never considers the very truth that it is the ground that gave him the abundance. So he looks at his work and says, "Whoa, this is amazing. Look at what I have done." So he never considers that it is God who makes the ground rich and therefore bringing fruit to his work. He never considers that it is God who gave him the wisdom to do that work. He never considered it is God who gave him the strength to do that work. He never considered that actually him being a rich man, he has people around him that work and help him. He never considers to appreciate them for their work and for their service. He just looks at what he has and he says, "Look at what I have achieved with my own effort." Greed will have you believe that your work, that what you achieve with your work is your own effort. It will never allow you to see God in the work. It will never allow you to see God in the work. And you'll be considering that, you know what, I've been hustling. I've been doing this thing by myself. And look at my wisdom. I look at my way. Look at the way that I do things. I am better than anyone else. And if you do not watch out, greed will sneak up on you when you fail to see God in your work. Because when you fail to see God in your work, what will happen is that you will do anything else that you can for you to get whatever that is that you want. Because remember, the lie of greed says, "I need it, I must have it, and with it, life will be better." And because that is being motivated by greed, when you say, "I need it, I must have it, with it, life will be better," you do anything to get it. You do anything to have it. You do anything because you think life will be better with it, and whatever that is for you, whatever it is for you. And whenever you're being driven by greed and not seeing God in your work, you're going to step on people's toes and you're not going to mind it. You're not going to mind it. You will not mind. Be careful the way you share your stories when you're fundraising, that sometimes you can spice up these stories to make people cry so people give into your fundraiser. Be careful and watch out, because you might be motivated by greed, that you're actually doing this out of greed. Be careful when you're looking for help and how you share your story, because often the temptation is to share our stories in a way that will have people, will make people feel for us, feel compassion for us, and therefore we spice it up. We make all kinds of lies. Watch out, be careful, watch out, because you might be motivated with greed, because greed says, "I need it, I must have it, and with it, life will be better." Watch out how you treat those that have less or those that have more. Who do you consider to be of more value to you? Is it those people that have more than you? Who do you consider of someone who is of less value in your life? It is those people that have less. Consider how you treat those that have more, and consider how you treat those that have less, because you might be motivated by greed. And when you do not see God in your work, you will say, "I will do anything so I can have it, because I need it, I must have it, and with it, life will be better." So, in this story, the man failed to see God in his work, and he was just doing everything for himself. And greed can hide in your heart, can hide in your life, and sometimes it can hide in a form of where you will justify what you do and say, "This is my commitment, I'm furthering my career." And in doing so, because you're not seeing God in your work, you may end up sacrificing your family. You may end up doing things that will step on people's toes, and you're not going to mind who you hurt, because greed is motivating your work, is motivating what you do. So when you fail to see God in your work, greed will overtake you. But also, we are talking about see God in your work, but also see God in your win. See God in your win. Verse 16 to 17 says, "And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store up my crops.'" Greed will overtake you when you fail to see God in your work, but also when you fail to see God in your wins. This man that Jesus Christ is calling in this parable to be the rich fool, this man never considered that it was God who provided him the harvest. He never considered that. He never considered it is God who gave him the abundant harvest. So he only looked at how big his harvest was, and he just thought of himself. Because greed will lie to you. Greed will say, you need it, you must have it, and with it, life will be better. So when you don't see God in your wins, your successes in life, you think, these are all my own efforts. You think this is all for me. And that happens with failures too. When you cannot see God in your wins, your success and your failures will motivate you. It will motivate you because you're not seeing God in the work and you're not seeing God in the win. But God is both in the work and God is both in the wins. He is both in the wins. And we need to see God in both. Because when you fail to see God in the work and in the wins, you will end up chasing and living your life chasing wins. And when you cannot get those wins, you will be so frustrated. You will be so disappointed. You will say, my life is not worth a living because I'm not winning. Because I'm not winning. But when you do for God, when you see God in your work, even when you don't get the wins, you recognize that your very work is your worship to God. Your very work is your worship to God. As scripture says in Colossians 3:23, it says, when you're doing, in everything that you're doing, do it as though you're doing it unto the Lord, not earthly masters. You're doing it unto God. That your work, your very work is a worship to God. So whether a win comes in or not, you have already worshiped God with how faithful you have been in your own work. But this is my encouragement to you. God is in the work and God is in the wins. But you can never find satisfaction in your work and you can never find satisfaction in your wins. Our true satisfaction comes from Jesus. Therefore, we need to give our work and our wins to God. Because it is through Him that we will find true satisfaction. It is through Him that our work will be full of honor. That we're going to honor God in our work. Because greed will vanish where God is honored. Greed will fade where God is honored. So I want to encourage you today that you have to watch out. Watch out that you do not fail to see God in your work. That you do not fail to see God in your wins. For when you do that, greed will sneak up on you. Number two, greed will sneak up on you when you find security in stuff and not satisfaction in God. Greed will sneak up on you when you find security in stuff and not satisfaction in God. Verse 19 says, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. This rich fool, when he looked at what he had, he thought, what else do I need in my life? I have everything that I need. I have everything that I ever wanted. I have more than enough. I do not need anything else. Remember the lie of greed? I need it, I must have it, and with it life will be better. And he thinks, I have a lot that I have harvested. Therefore, I do not need anything else in my own life. And guess what he was thinking? He was thinking, I'll never be hungry again. I'll never be hungry again. He was thinking, I can get whatever I want, whenever I want it, because I have it all. He was thinking, I'll never need support. I'll never need, you know, to worry about food or anything else because I have it all together. And this is a sense of security. But in this sense of security, he was finding a sense of security not in God, but in the stuff that he had. Because greed was telling him, I need it, I must have it, and with it, life will be better. Greed will lead you to find security in the more you have, and not satisfaction in the God who has you. Greed will lead you to find security in the more you have, and not in the satisfaction and not satisfaction in the God who has you. Greed will have you say, my life will be good once I have a lot of money. My life will be good once I have a lot of education. My life will be good once I have a lot of houses. My life will be good once I have more of those type of opportunities. My life will be good once I have more of this. Because greed will lead you to find satisfaction in the more and not find it in the God who has you. Greed will lead you to find security in the more that you have and not in the satisfaction in the God who has you. Because God has you. God has you. And having a lot is not life. Having more of something, whatever that is not life. But having Jesus is life. Having Jesus is life. Greed is defeated when you realize that you are not what you have, but you are who you have. You belong to God. You belong to God, and He belongs to you. And if you put your faith in God, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you say, it is not the stuff that I have, but it is He whom that I have in my life who matters the most. And therefore, you will find security and satisfaction in Him. But when you do not pay attention, when you not pay attention that you are not finding security and satisfaction in God, what's going to happen is greed will sneak up on you. Greed will sneak up on you. So Jesus Christ is not against people having possessions. He's actually against people being possessed by their possessions. Do not allow yourself to be controlled by your possessions. And your possessions will not control you when you begin to find satisfaction in God. When you begin to find satisfaction in God and not security in your stuff. So how do you find satisfaction in God? Allow God to direct your heart to what matters to Him. And one thing that matters to Him is that, you know, we would love on others, those that are around us, that we can serve others with the resources that we have, more especially those that do not deserve it or those that cannot pay us back. That's how you find satisfaction in God. So greed will manifest and will sneak up on you. Greed will manifest itself in you when you find security in stuff and not satisfaction in God. Number three, greed will sneak up on you when you fall into complacency and not live with contentment. When you fall into complacency and not live with contentment. Verse 19 says, "And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." The man, the rich fool in this story, he got an abundance of harvest and he became complacent. That's why he became complacent. And there's a huge difference between complacence and contentment, because complacence is more to do with the desire to arrive, where you feel like I have arrived, therefore I don't need to do anything else. It is more to do with laziness and apathy. I have nothing else to do. I have arrived. And complacence is actually more inward focused and full of pride. Everything revolves around you. Everything revolves around you. But contentment is outward looking. Contentment actually finds peace, a sense of deeper peace, not in the achievements, but in God. Contentment finds a deeper sense of peace and is grounded in God. It's grounded in God. And the peace which comes with contentment is grounded in Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. And you know that your self-worth is not in what you have achieved, but it is in Jesus Christ who rescued you, who defines who you are. Now, often finding contentment is hard because having peace when everything else around you is falling apart, that's not easy. Having peace, a sense of peace, being content when life is hard, it's not easy. But God is not really concerned with giving us easy ways. He's concerned with our growth. He's concerned with our growth. And through contentment, God grows in us what will glorify Him most. God grows in us what will glorify Him most. And therefore, when you are being content with what you have, with what God has given you, God begins to grow things in you that will glorify Him the most. Now, I'm not saying you should stop dreaming. No, that's complacence, not contentment. I'm not saying, oh, you should stop running after your dreams, or you should stop working hard. That's not contentment. That's complacence. I'm not saying, oh, you know, I'm just going to be here and not do anything else and just rely on God's help. That's not what I'm saying. That's not complacence. That is that's not contentment. That is complacence, because complacence can be lazy and apathetic. But contentment will be the anchor of your soul when you succeed, and contentment will be the anchor of your soul when you fail. Whether you fail or not, you will have peace through it all, because you're content, because God is the anchor in it all. Because God is the anchor in it all. So how do you have contentment even when things are hard, even when things are crazy? You need to remember that God is in control. You can have contentment when you remember that God has your best interest at heart. You can have contentment when you remember that God has for you what is best for you. You can have contentment in God when you remember that God is for you and He is not against you. For it is then that God begins to grow in you that which will glorify Him most. God grows in us what will glorify Him most. So watch out. Watch out that you don't fall into complacence and you forsake contentment. Because when you do that, greed will sneak up on you before you know it. Number four, greed will sneak up on you when you trust the bigger bands and not the bigger God. Greed will sneak up on you when you trust the bigger bands and not the bigger God. Verse 18 says, then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my bands and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This man in the story, he actually already had bands. He already had storage facilities where he could keep his stuff. But then he gets this massive, huge harvest, and he reckons, I'm going to destroy the ones I already have so that I can build bigger ones. It's not that he was lacking, but when he got this stuff, he thought to himself, I want to build bigger storage rooms so that I can keep, because I need bigger barns. And he never considered that he actually needed God, because he was putting his trust in the more. He was putting his trust in the bigger that he had. He was not putting his trust in God. He was not putting his trust in God. Now, the tragedy is that greed will lead to loss in the end. Greed will lead to loss in the end, because the bigger bands in the end will be lost. Verse 20 says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? When you put your trust in the bigger bands and not in God, not in the big God, you will lose. You will lose. And it's so dangerous that to the point that we can actually lose our very own lives. Greed is so dangerous that it can have you lose your own life. Some of you probably know people that because of greed, they turn into gambling. You know, they turn to gambling. They now gamble and they cannot turn back, and probably they have lost a lot in their lives, because that's what greed would do. Greed will lead you to loss. Some of you know people that were arrested because they were caught stealing or being corrupt, because greed led them into corruption. Greed will lead to loss. Some of you probably know some relationships that have been lost because a partner in the relationship was greedy. Greed will lead to loss. And ultimately, greed can lead to a loss of our relationship with God. It can lead to a loss of our relationship with God. Now, I often say that often we are not punished for our sins, but we are often punished by our sins. That the sin of greed can actually lead to your own punishment. The consequences that you get and you receive from it can be detrimental to you and to those around you. But then I have good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ is so committed to you and to me, and he welcomes even those that are greedy. He welcomes even those that are greedy. Jesus Christ says in that verse 21, he says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Jesus Christ is calling you to be rich towards God. And how you can be rich towards God. You can actually be rich towards God because God has been rich towards you. God has been rich towards you. Through Jesus Christ, Scripture tells us that he spared nothing, including even his own son. He gave up his own son for us. He gave everything. God is not greedy. He gave it all up. He gave it all up for us so that you and me can find hope and true satisfaction in him. Jesus Christ became thirsty so that you can find satisfaction in him. You can find him. So you will be rich towards God when you see God both in your work and in your wins. You will be rich towards God when you find satisfaction and security in God. You will be rich towards God when you find contentment in him. And when you trust in the God who is big than trusting in your own bigger bands. Now, for all of us, God is calling us that we should consider to tackle our own greed, Now, we are in this season, of COVID-19, where times are very, very strange. One thing that this season is actually bringing up for every single one of us is that actually it's showing us that we are actually not in control. We are not in control, really. We thought we were in control of what happens in the world, but we realize actually we are not in control. We thought we were in control of when we go to work, where we work from, but actually we realize that we are actually not in control. We thought we were in control of our finances, of when we leave our jobs, and then we realize that we are not in control. Now, I know I may be speaking to some of you that actually have lost a great deal in this season. Some of you have lost your jobs, and some of you had massive and great plans of things that you are going to be doing this year, and you're seeing them being washed down the drain, and you're wondering, will my life get back to normal? Will things be better again for me? And some of you had maybe investments that you made, and you just don't know how things will turn out to be. So there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fears around you and with you right now. But I just wanted to bring your attention to a God, a big God, a God who stays with you when things are hard, a God who walks with you even in the moment of loss and uncertainty or fear. God who stands close to you and he is here with you. A God who is able to provide for you when you cannot. A God who is there to make something new out of nothing. A God who can bring resurrection when all hope is lost. I want to encourage you to put your trust in him because he is in control. He is in control. Now, one way that you can respond to this message is if you can use your resource this week. Use one of your resources this week to bless someone. Serve someone with your resources. And do it most especially for those that will not give you back. Buy food for someone. Give something to someone. Go serve a family. Help a single mom. Do something for someone. Most especially those that cannot pay you back. And one of the things that we are doing at Flood is that we are raising money to support our families. Malawi will more likely be going into a lockdown for 21 days. And most people in Malawi, they find food just for that day. So they go into the markets and find food for just for that day. Being under lockdown for 21 days, it's a huge burden for most people in Malawi. And therefore, what we're wanting to do as a church is we're wanting to respond to that and to help families that cannot afford food. Because we want people to stay at home, to love their communities by staying at home. And we want to help them stay at home by giving them food. So we want you guys to be a part of that. If you're wondering how best you could do that, there will be a link here of how you can give to this. And we would like you guys to give. And also, if you're wondering how best you could do that, you can send me an email, humphreys@floodchurch.com, and I will respond to you. And we would really appreciate if you can give. Use your resources to love on someone else. Use your resources to love on someone else. The lie of greed says, I need it, I must have it, and with it, life will be better. Greed will lead you to think that your ultimate joy is in the sweetness of your possessions and not in Jesus. Greed will tell you, you need it, you must have it, and with it, life will be better. But I want to tell you, you don't need it. You don't need to have it. All you need is Jesus. And I hope today you can say to Jesus Christ, I need him. I must have him. And with him, life will be better. I need him. I must have him. And with him, life will be better. Because Jesus Christ is better than anything else you could ever have in your life. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We worship you for your good. And we pray, Father, that you would grant us the grace to respond to your word. You grant us the grace to respond to you, Jesus, and to want to do that which you say we should do. So God, I pray that in whatever way you have spoken to us today, that we can say yes, we can say yes to you, Jesus. Be blessed, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, yeah, thank God for you guys being with us today. And, you know, I pray that God will grant you the grace and the peace this week that you need. I pray that he will be for you this week, that you will see him in everything that you do. Stay blessed.